This is the GPL Podcast, part of the Pull Tab Sports family.
You're younger than my dad.
Oh.
My dad's 56.
You're younger than my dad. Yeah, that makes sense.
And Eric, on the flip side, I bet you just love those defensive games.
If I'm playing, well, I was the same as you, Drew. If I fell asleep on Saturday.
Eat that Todd. Eat that Schloss. Eat that Drew.
Now, here's Jupiter and Vigo. Good evening and welcome to the GPL Podcast, episode number 262. And Viggs, of course I had to grab that video with Cappy last week saying, eat that Todd, eat that Schloss, eat that Drew, because of our guest tonight.
That's right, Cappy's catching up, but it's going to be a while, I think, before he can catch Todd Valesky.
Well, let's bring him in. Todd Valesky, there he is. Our favorite guy who covers the Badgers, probably our only favorite guy of the Badgers, but you know.
You know, it was good to see that the Big Ten Network recognized how to cover hockey last week.
Ooh, I love that one. Boy, I'm saving that clip for Cappy the next time he's on.
Bring it.
We all know hockey's an afterthought. It just is. And it's going to get worse in the next couple of years.
Well,
but I had BTN Plus. I mean, I could watch games.
Sure, worse is a way of putting it. It's different is another way of putting it.
You know, okay, talking to Cappy Saturday night, he's like, this series is over. Why don't we just go right down to Madison and cover it? Mm-hmm. He's like, I think he was kind of disappointed too. Why can't we just do this? It's true. It's show me the money.
Yep.
And Minnesota does push TV. It's just how it is, right?
No one gets ratings like Minnesota, and after that, no one gets ratings like Michigan, and then it falls off pretty fast. So, plus, up until now, they never really had to worry about, you know, getting games on TV because whatever wasn't on Big Ten Network would be carried by Bally here. But as we've discussed before, I believe on this show. Not an option anymore.
It's a new world, Viggs. It's going to be about streaming, like we've been saying for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I think all sports, you're going to have to hunt around a little bit to find them, whether it's big-time college football or big-time basketball or hockey as we know it. It's going to be a challenge to find what channel they're on or what stream they're on. And luckily, Minnesota does a great job having a good production for their TV and streaming broadcasts, and I think that's going to be the future for hockey for at least the near future.
A company out of Wisconsin, aren't they?
Yeah, it's right near Madison here. Rush Media that does that, and they do a lot of productions for all sorts of sports, basketball, soccer. Sure. So yeah, they're pretty experienced, and yeah, they do it right. I mean, but that's the investment. That's what the school, you know, wants to do with it and thinks it can get enough sponsorship to make it at least not a huge money loss.
Well, part of it is a PR thing, isn't it? Think about it. Minnesota has always had the best TV coverage, going back 25, 30 years now. And they're putting money into trying to keep that up as best as they can.
And I think that's going to be one of the things for Big Ten schools to promote down the road is, yes, we invest in a great broadcast for your family to watch us, your friends to watch us. And that's part of being on the Big Ten and playing for Minnesota. And I think some of these other schools in the league, now that they don't have that Bally support, are going to have to bridge the gap or they're going to be at a disadvantage. And I think that hasn't ever been a problem at Minnesota. They've done everything they can to get as many games on TV as they can. Even in the Big Ten, there's probably more games on TV than there were back in the old days in the WCHA. you know, when you're going out to CC and Denver and Alaska, sometimes those games weren't available for everybody. When they go to Michigan Tech, those games weren't always available. I think people have this weird hindsight of everything was perfect back then. It was different, and it was nice to have that 7 o'clock window that people could rely on. But it wasn't like every game was on TV even back then.
But back then, Todd, Alaska Anchorage were the streaming pioneers. They right. were literally way ahead of everybody, even though we had goofy commercials and right. six wheel RV little recreational things. They were doing a great job back in the 2000s, long before anyone else was thinking about this.
For free.
Yes.
To watch, right? That was the thing about it was that, you know, it was GCI Cable, I think, right? That was, if I'm remembering right, that was the provider. And it just happened to be that, yeah, they put everything out there for free, and which is, you know.
Overstream many times, Corey. Yeah. Yeah, we have seen that.
but yeah, that's, I mean, we've known this is coming. It's just, you know, how fast and how, I mean, I think the one problem that I've heard a lot is that how many different subscriptions am I going to have? That's, I mean, that's fair. And that's, you know, they want you to have to buy more because yeah. that's how they get your dollar to help fund those, you know, $1 billion rights deals.
You know, I think VIG's a good compromise on that is if you get BTN plus stream, like you're streaming the hockey package. If there's a game on Big Ten Network that's hockey, you should be able to stream that without having a cable service that has, you know, BTN or, you know, the Fox Sports app. I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah, I think it's going to get more complicated as time goes, and we're just going to have to make choices for what we want to watch.
Yep.
And, you know, it's probably cheaper than road tripping to all the games, and we'll see what happens. But I'm a little surprised by the product that we saw on the ice this last weekend, both for Minnesota and Wisconsin. I thought Minnesota probably got away with a weekend here against Penn State, where I don't think they played very well either game, and got pretty lucky.
To say the least, Biggs. Speaking with Cappy after that game, the first thing I said to him Saturday night, Gophers didn't deserve to win that game. They played terrible, and they got lucky.
I thought they played terrible the first period on Friday, too. I mean, you watch that first 10 minutes, how many pucks they got deep versus how many they turned over and had to turn around and play defense. It was probably 80% of the pucks were getting turned over on the rush as they came through the neutral zone and went into the Penn State zone. They did not look very clean. I think they anticipated a little bit different weekend than the one Penn State gave them, and it took them a little while to get going. You know, if Sam Renzel doesn't get that gift goal in the first period, it could have been an entirely different weekend for Minnesota, and you know, they would have had to really battle to get out of the first round of the Big Ten.
So Minnesota escapes. Wisconsin did not, Todd. What happened?
How much time do we have? I gotta get to bed at some point tonight, but it kind of came down to that. I wrote about this, it went back to 3 weeks earlier when Wisconsin played at Ohio State, and you know, Badgers were, you know, looking to move into first place with Michigan State idle that weekend. Could have controlled basically the last 2 weeks of the race for the championship, and had a lead late in the Friday night game and let Ohio State get a long shift in the zone, and they tied it with a minute and 40 something left. And then won it in overtime. And then the next night, it had flipped over. Ohio State looked like the better team. Mm-hmm. And so taking that in to a playoff series 3 weeks later, that team coming in on the road isn't afraid of anything. They've seen the blueprint. They've seen the roadmap to how they come up with an upset. Good goaltending, got that. Getting first goals, got that. Letting yourself play the style you want to play, and they clogged the neutral zone once they got a lead. That was like, it looked a little like mid-90s Devils looked like for a while there. Score and then lock it down. And they got a couple of good bounces. So from the Ohio State side, from the Wisconsin side, there just wasn't enough urgency. I mean, all weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the game they won, it felt like they had it for, you know, a 10-minute stretch and then let off the gas. And that's, I think that's some of the learning that's still happening with a team that, you know, is half new, you know, from last year, but the half that's been back, that is back, hasn't really ever been in that situation before of being a team that's, you know, supposed to win. It's supposed to be one that advances. So learning to play in a pressure situation, that's valuable. And I think they'll be better off for that eventually. But right now it you got to feel like the confidence is really shaken there, because it's, you know, you're off for two weekends mm-hmm. going into the NCAA tournament. It's tough to keep something going through that. Now, you know, maybe you can use it as a reset, and like we saw Penn State do last year, come out and throw up an 8-0 game against Michigan Tech in the first round of the NCAAs. But I don't see this team having 8 goals in them in a game. So it's going to be, you know, these next 2 weeks are going to be a struggle for them to pull it back together for the NCAAs.
And Vince, I think that's kind of key though for Ohio State. They knew they could handle Wisconsin. They've just played them. Psychologically, that's important. And now they go into Michigan State knowing they could beat them as well, Vince.
Or they just beat, right?
Yeah, they just went into Mon and beat them a couple weeks ago. So they have that confidence right now. They have nothing to lose, and they have a lot to play for. And I look at teams like Minnesota and Wisconsin, not a lot of guys on these rosters have been in key roles in big games. And I think it's shown by their performances. You know, you look at Wisconsin, they're just not playing with the intensity and the discipline and the connectedness to be successful under a Mike Hastings style. You know, that's not an easy style to play. It's a tough style. And you have to be engaged, and you have to be aware, and you have to be on top of pucks, and you have to know when to take your chances and when to play the system. And I don't think Wisconsin has a lot of experience doing that, other than a couple players who used to play in Mankato, and that shows with the results. And the same thing is happening to Minnesota. You know, you look at Jackson Nelson, Aaron Hughlin, I thought they had pretty good weekends. Hard to find a lot of other forwards for Minnesota that played well. And I think mm-hmm. some of the defense for Minnesota is still going through that growing pain of learning to play the big heavy minutes and right the ship when things aren't going right. Because I think that takes a little bit of savviness and experience and calmness under pressure to reset your system. And talking to Bob Motzko after the series, he was kind of, I think, a little gun shy to go after his team too hard, because he knows it's a fragile thing. To have that confidence issue and playing the right way. So it's going to be an intriguing next couple of weeks here for these programs.
Yeah, you're interesting. You mentioned that, Biggs, because he almost said that, you know, what was it you that even asked him, you know, what do you say to the players when you can clearly see what they're doing it wrong? And he kind of gave you the impression like, you know what? I didn't really say much. I kind of let them handle it themselves.
He basically said, like, they're saying the right things on the bench. They know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're just not executing, and you just can't break out the 2x4 and kick the trash can, because that's not going to get the response that you need for them to be successful long term. And it's a tricky situation. You can't just give maturity and experience to players. That's one of the old coaching jokes, is you can't buy it at the store. You know, you gotta earn it and develop it yourself.
So, you know, Friday night, Vigs, you know, like you said, they started slow. They did kind of keep, you know, keep it going and get a solid win. Saturday, we were all kind of sitting there in the entire third period saying, they fell asleep. They're not even, they're just going through the motions, or we couldn't even explain it. You know, several of us were there just kind of amazed how bad it was. And then they get a lucky puck. Somebody, you know, Hughlin did not trip this guy. He definitely lost his skates. He lost an edge. At least that's how I saw it. And they did get take advantage of their opportunity and scored to get the game winner, you know, just over a minute left.
I was a little surprised there wasn't any kind of call there.
I'm surprised he lost an edge. I thought
there was some contact there, and it creates a scoring chance right off of it. And based
but
on
he
the
had
way
the puck.
I've seen...
You're allowed contact. You can't trip him. You have the puck. You're allowed contact. He loses an edge. There was no tripping motion. There's no leg out. There's no stick out. Is that maybe why the ref let it go?
Maybe why he let it go, but we've seen Big Ten officiating this year. It's a mystery for us all. So it's just kind of surprised that they had that and they had the nice chance right off of that opportunity. Great play by Brody Lamb and Aaron Hughlin to put that one away. But I just felt like Minnesota didn't really have it going. You know, the Snuggerud game DQ earlier was a game-changing play. Motzko had been messy with the lineup throughout the night. You know, he had put Mittelstadt up with Moore and Pitlick for a while. He had Clark going with them. You know, a lot of changes in the lineup as Bob's trying to find the right recipe with this group. You know, we can talk about checking from behind and when it's a game DQ if you want. I'm kind of interested to hear Todd's take on that as the objective person, because I kind of feel like we need to almost put together a playlist of all the questionable judgment calls this year and just get different perspectives on them. But I thought it was a definite major because he hit him from behind, but you know, when we talk about the game DQ,
well, not DQ. DQ is the plus one.
Okay. DQ. The game misconduct.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did not see this happen live. So I don't know the actual play that happened, but they actually do that. They put together the referees at their preseason event for the Big Ten, and actually this last season it was combined Big Ten CCHA. They look at a lot of the clips of checking from behind and goalie interference and these things kind of in a row and try to come to some consensus. What did you see on this? Who, you know, they have a voting thing. So sometimes that ends up 50-50, you know, 60-40. And that's a judgment call. So that you can, there's some, you know, you can understand that to some degree, but I do think there's a path somewhere. I don't know what it is to getting more consistent definition to what we need to be looking for in those situations, because it's not necessarily just the severity or the degree of violence, or you know, the whether an injury results out of it. That those are hard to, even on replay, to quantify as a, this is a, you know, from a 1 to a 5, you know, where does it fall on that? You know, people are going to disagree on that. Space from the boards, that's a factor. Whether the player did anything to turn into the hit, that's a factor. I mean, I'm racking my brain for what they go over, but I don't know. There's not a great answer. Honestly, that's it. That's just it. You could talk in circles here and come around and you haven't gone anywhere. So it is a case by case thing. And that's the unfortunate part about it.
Well, when we heard Steve Piotrowski on the show podcast earlier this year, he said, when they show these clips, very rarely will there ever be a unanimous consensus.
Yeah.
What the call should be. And I think that just, it's tough for college hockey fans to watch these games and see players get kicked out for things that might not even be penalties in the NHL.
Yeah, which is why they you know, they changed the rule a couple of years ago so that it was, you know, all these things weren't necessarily automatic. The game misconduct that you can give them the five without the game, which was seen as a, you know, kind of a middle ground of, yeah, we think this is bad enough to be a major, but not bad enough to take you out of the game. And I feel like we've seen that, but maybe not as much as I thought we would. You know, I thought refs would maybe give players a benefit of the doubt in some of those situations, but it hasn't. I haven't seen any data on it or anything like that, but I don't think it's happened as much as I went into it thinking it was going to.
So Viggs, obviously they could talk to their partner when they're reviewing. They kind of come together as a team and decide what they're going to do. Can they talk to an off-ice official, or are they only allowed to, you know, get video instructions from them? Because usually there's another off-ice official in the arena kind of monitoring, you know, everything from video to kind of just keeping an eye on things. Like even last weekend, you know, all the arenas had to have one extra referee and one extra linesman in case somebody was injured. So there was more people there. Are they allowed to talk to those guys during these reviews?
From what I can tell, the off-ice official is just presenting the information to them and helping them okay. see the clips. Okay. And I think the only way they can talk to them is by showing a clip over and over again to say, hey, you should be looking at this a little closer. Mm. This is what I'm seeing. I can't tell you anything, but I can show you rather than tell you. But I just wish there was more consistency there. I don't think there's the infrastructure in college hockey to have like a,
that is,
you
true.
Know, let's go to Toronto or New York or whatever it is in the NHL when they have an official.
There isn't the Big Ten. I mean, they very well could do that, but that's not in the protocols for, as far as I understand that, to do that just in one conference as opposed to, you know, having a nationwide kind of thing like you're talking about there. Yeah.
Yeah, Pat McLennan cornered me up in the press box after the period because I didn't think it should have been an ejection for Snuggerud. I thought it was just a major because the player turns and puts himself in a vulnerable position the last couple of minutes, and his head isn't going straight into the boards. It's kind of a shoulder turn, and that's why I think it shouldn't have been the game misconduct. I thought a five-minute major, but keep the player in the game because I think that's the way the rule was rewritten. Is to keep players in the game because it can be such a game-changing decision when you have a Hobey Baker candidate who's gone after what, 4 minutes. it kind of,
he got an assist.
He got his point. That's true.
it's just, you know, the game's become more and more important. You know what? Don't put yourself in that position, Snuggerud. He knows better, Viggs. He does.
He does. And you could tell he kind of knew it afterwards. Yep. He was like, yeah, shouldn't have done that. And then I think Motzko compounded it by trying to get the review on the fish hit, which I didn't think was going to be a penalty. Your glasses have to be very maroon tinted to think that was going to be called a major and a misconduct in turn.
What do you do? What do you do? It's just kind of how everything just rolls out. And, you know, I thought the rest of the reffing that weekend was pretty good, Viggs. You guys had Sean Fernandez over there, Todd. And he is known for not calling a lot of penalties. A lot of people don't say, oh, he's a terrible ref. Well, I know, Viggs, you've said to me, no, he just doesn't call a lot. He just lets a lot go.
Yeah.
How did that crew do in Madison this past weekend?
There was a lot of that in stretches. You know, in Sunday's game, Wisconsin didn't get a power play. And that's, you know, the first time.
Sean Fernandez.
A long time.
He's one of the refs. There's two of them. So.
Right, right. They were going to get a power play, but they called an embellishment on the same call.
I remember you explaining that in one of your Facebook videos. Yes.
It was announced as diving, which – it can't be diving if you're also calling the original penalty. That's those things don't add up.
You think that was just a little miscommunication?
I think it was. Yeah, he just said the wrong thing, and they got it right in the box score. They called it embellishment.
Okay. Okay.
It just was a. And Mike Hastings said it after after the game, he said, I found it curious that our guy who was about to go in on a breakaway would try to dive. Because it was a block shot that it blocked out into the neutral zone. The defender, the Wisconsin player, had the speed against the Ohio State player who got in his way. And, yeah, I think he did kind of make some dramatics about it. You know, kind of, you know, did the arms flailing a little bit as he went to the ice.
Kind of reminds me of an overtime call in St. Cloud in Minnesota a couple of years back. But I digressed.
But I don't know. It you know, in those split seconds there, hard to say whether that's going to be a breakaway, how much speed he has, whether he thinks he's actually going to be able to do something at the end of the breakaway, or if trying to
where he's at in his shift.
Is it
early in the shift versus late in the shift. Like he's I'm dead tired. I'm going to try to draw a penalty instead of trying to break away.
So a lot of those factors in there, and called them both and played 4-4.
Honestly, for the Badgers this weekend, it probably wasn't the reffing. It was just the lack of offense, especially Sunday. I can see you getting surprised Friday. You come back Saturday pretty strong. Sunday, there just wasn't anything there.
Yeah, the fire that I think they wanted to see just didn't, didn't show up fast enough. And then you're playing from behind, you get a bad bounce and you're down by two, and then it's really tough as you're going into the third period down by two. They did sort of pull something together for a good stretch, but Logan Turnus was a really good goalie in both of those wins, and that was the thing about the way they staggered that series, you know, because they've been rotating goalies. They went with one goalie in game one, a different goalie in game two. You have a fresh goalie in game three that you go back to. That's one of those things about when you're in a rotation, you can get away with that and still have both of them feeling confident. Like, hey, I did, you know, I got my start. I did my job. I did, you know, I contributed, but, then when you have to go to a deciding game, you can turn to one of them and say, hey, you're our guy here. So go make it happen.
Well, strange things happen. So, but we need to get into this coming weekend coming up. But first, we need to hear from our sponsors.
Jake Middleton here, Director of Hair and Hygiene for the Minnesota Wild. How did I get this important role with the team, you ask? I'd like to think it was because of hard work, but the truth is, I run hot. Yep, I'm a sweater. In my role as Director of Hair and Hygiene, I'm sort of like a player coach. Let me pull out the grease board here. Well, it's not actually a grease board, because there is nothing dirty about Duke Cannon. How do I help the guys stay squeaky clean? Helpful reminders. It's simple. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Say it with me. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Pick the scent that suits you. Sawtooth. Thick body wash. Extra thick. And my favorite, Midnight Swim. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Duke Cannon. Work harder, smell better.
We thank Duke Cannon for sponsoring the GPL podcast. We know they're our big sponsor for the hockey hair for Mr. King over at Pull Tab Sports this weekend, and hopefully if anyone gets a chance to see that. If you haven't, I'm guessing everyone has, Viggs.
A lot of bleached hair this year, which I don't know if I'm on board with in the state tournament. I get the team bonding thing, but a lot of people went to that well this year for the hockey hair. But the video, as always, entertaining. I got friends in flow places. Check it out.
It was definitely good. But we also need to talk about Cub, and I tweeted out earlier this week, I had my donut holes from Cub Vigs, and they're already gone.
Well, Cubs all aboard the Pull Tab Sports Wagon. They sponsor the Wild and Southern Pod, sponsor Twins Homer Hankies. They're on PJ Flex headset. They're one of us, and they support the GPL podcast too. Visit your local Cub. They're all over for your food and beverage needs, pickup or delivery. They got you at cub.com. everything's always in stock. The milk is very fresh. You know, the probably one pretty close to your house. Check them out. Cub.
Definitely check out Cub Foods. All right, let's bring Todd back in and talk about this weekend. As right as I was looking here, great thing from Sloth. Sparty is 1-3 against Ohio State, with them going 2-1 in Wisconsin. Do you think they have a chance to take down Sparty? Viggs, I think Ohio State has a chance to get into the tournament if they keep playing well. And wouldn't that just mess up the whole pairwise and all the lower end of the pairwise if they were to sneak in? Because that would mean 5 teams from the Big Ten.
Maybe. Could be just 4 still, depending on how things go. But I think Ohio State's much better than their record indicates. You know, they've got a lot of guys who transferred in to try to, you know, get some experience for Ohio State, who lost a lot last year. I don't think things came together as much as Steve Rolick would have liked. You know, he traditionally has a very strong system that guys kind of learn over time, and trying to force feed that to this team did not go well. He's got a couple guys who are a little undisciplined with Bricky and Halliday, but they're talented. And so when those guys are going well and they have momentum in games, they can be a dangerous team to play against. And Rolick's a good coach. You know, he didn't just come out of high school. He's been doing this for a while, and he's going to give them a tough matchup here this week.
And Todd, we know both Minnesota and Michigan are rooting for Ohio State, because if Ohio State gets the upset, whoever wins the Minnesota-Michigan game gets to host the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing that I think Ohio State can use, again, like we were talking about before, two things. One of them being the belief that, hey, we did this already. We went in there and we beat Michigan State. And not like Michigan State wasn't playing for anything. They were, you know, trying to lock up a conference championship and, you know, further things that way. So there's that part of it. But there's also, I mean, looking back at last week, and I thought, you know, some of their best players were their best players, and that's great for a team in the playoffs. You mentioned Halliday and Bricky. I thought they were really good last weekend, both of them. Davis Bernstein was really good. The goalies, you know, like I talked about, Logan Turnus played great, and now you're in a one game weekend, so you can go to him and say, look, you know we normally split, but you get the first one, and so you're getting the first one. So I think that puts them in a good spot, but you're still talking about a Michigan State team that's there for a reason. I was talking with someone today about, you know, the advantage disadvantage of the winning the championship and having the week off, that you have to, you know, kind of keep it together and keep it at a high level for through a weekend without games. And that we've seen the, you know, where that's been okay, and we've seen where that hasn't been great in the Big Ten in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so that, you know, that's a little bit of an unknown there, because, you know, with a team that hasn't gone through this before, and, you know, some players have, you know, been on other teams that, you know, maybe have had other chances at success. But we don't know really what we're going to see out of Michigan State here, because we haven't seen them in this position yet. And so that's where the intrigue for me comes in, of seeing where this goes this week. I think you would say they're a fairly big favorite, but, you know, after seeing what Ohio State did last weekend, I wouldn't want to, you know, say no, they've got no chance here, because I think they honestly do.
He definitely got the confidence, Viggs.
Well, Ohio State's got the confidence, and Michigan State, you know, when I was looking at some of the voting for the conference awards, it's hard to know who from Michigan State really stirs the drink there. You know, they've had a great season. Their freshman defenseman, Leshuvnov, has been great. Levshnov, I'll work on it. Thanks for the reminder.
I've been working on it all season. I still don't know if I have it right.
Yeah. Anyway, he's been great. They've got some players like Howard up front who flash, and they've had good goaltending, but I just don't know how high end this team is. They've done very well this season and won the league and are the number one seed for a reason, but I just don't think they're a dominant number one seed, which makes this weekend very scary. And Bob Motzko today was even talking about how, you know, back when they were the number one seed, they've done all kinds of things. They did like an inter-squad scrimmage. They went down to Austin 1 year for like a public scrimmage. You know, they've tried rest, you know, lots of different things to try to figure out what to do with this bye week. And I think Michigan State is going to have to figure this all out for the first time. And they're going to be playing against a team that's confident. So I haven't looked at the money line for this, but I bet there's value there on the Buckeyes.
Time to get rid of the format, Todd.
Well, in exchange for what? I guess that's
Think about it. We had a team. In fact, we had more than one team that had a bye at times, in the WCHA Final Five. They could go back to that type of format. I'm sure Bob would like it. Extend the season a little more, so there's everybody's playing. But
you get into some of the same discussions with that as you do with the regionals.
Yeah,
who can host, and if you go to a one weekend, two weekend, whatever you want to do, it has the same scheduling issues with a couple of schools like the one that I cover, not having their own building for some of the days. And you're just kind of changing one problem for another in some of those things. But one of the big concerns I think for a lot of teams is, so the having the final weekend of the regular season off is rotated through everyone. Wisconsin gets it next year. And so if you're thinking ahead, and if they're at, even if they're in a position, in a race for the championship, they could, if they win the regular season, they could potentially have two weekends off going into the Big Ten semifinal. If they lose that, then another weekend off going into the NCAA tournament. That's a terrible way to be ready.
Playing once in a month. It's like,
yeah. And so that's, I think there's an answer there somewhere in the fact that the Big Ten is going to have seven teams, CCHA is going to have nine, NCHC is going to have nine. So there should be some, and I may be wrong in those numbers, by the way. I'm just pulling that off the top of my head, but there may be some matchups you could make there between, the Big Ten's always going to have a team off on the last weekend. These other leagues are always going to have a team off on the last weekend. Make something happen. Of course, that requires leaving open a non-conference weekend space, and who gets it at home. And it's, again, more problems being caused by trying to solve one problem. There are issues all the way down the line there.
Yet another situation in college hockey where teams might be doing something for their own self-interest that could come back to bite them someday. And once again, a situation where following the categorical imperative, what's best for everybody, is a smart decision making. And I just don't know if we're going to get there. We've talked about, different schools in the Big Ten maybe bidding to host. I don't think anyone really has a lot of appetite for that, to go to Notre Dame or go to Minnesota or go to Yost for a weekend of semis and a final. The atmospheres could be bad for a semi with visiting teams. If the home team loses in the first round, now your championship game doesn't have much atmosphere. And I just don't think big buildings like Excel and Little Caesars work now for the Big Ten.
Well, and look at what we've seen the last 2 years. I mean, everyone loved the atmosphere of the championship weekend, right? Or the championship night. And even going back into the semifinals, I remember those being pretty, the buildings being pretty live in those nights. And so that's what I think was attractive to the Big Ten, saying, hey, this seems to be working. Now you to get to that, you have to then sacrifice that, first weekend and having it be a little, okay, we'll forget about that. But hey, look at what we've got coming here. So I don't know that you can solve all of that. But I think if they have a strong championship weekend, if they can have a strong-ish semifinal weekend, those are good signs for you know, how they can market it, I guess, if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Well, Wisconsin's had all the attendance records last weekend because of that big arena they got.
Right, and the fact that the games are on the season ticket package. So that's your, you know, couple thousand base every night. So they knocked ticket prices down to $15 from 24, 20, whatever it is. Yeah, the Sunday wasn't great. They announced 7,700, yeah, something like that. But they also didn't sell that until after Saturday's game was over for single tickets. But yeah, quarterfinals have just always been, let's get these games played and move on into where we can get some excitement rolling here.
Well, I think we should probably move to where the quarterfinal games are taken with that mindset. Let's just get them played so we can move on to the main course of the semis and the final and really focus your planning on campus sites and selling as many tickets for those two games as you, those three games as you can. Yeah.
So then the question is, do you just cut it off at four teams? I mean, that's not the way that anything's really ever gone. I know some of the I think Hockey East at one point, I don't think they do it anymore because they have a first round, but they cut theirs off at eight, I think, at one point.
When yes, I think you're right.
And I
here we go.
I mean, we lose the Ohio State storyline this year if we do that, but it makes right. a lot of sense to me.
But you're putting a lot more emphasis then on the regular season, right? As being
true,
as important, you know, because everyone says it's the hardest championship to win, and that's great, but if it means 2 weeks later you're done mm-hmm. playoffs, what did it get you really? It got you a trophy and a ring and maybe a banner, but I don't know how you grade that in the big picture.
The other thing I would think of is maybe there's a play-in game,
right?
You know, you have a play-in game on like a Wednesday, and then you have your round. So maybe just one team gets, you know, skipped over.
Yeah. Something. I mean, those have been pretty popular in the, you know, thinking about the NBA format that they tried, you know, but that was when, you know, moving it from whatever eight teams qualified per conference and expanding it to 10, that was creating more excitement and more markets out of that. We're kind of talking about going the other way on this here and taking some out. But I think if you put something online there like that, you know, as a one game shot to get into the semis. Yeah, that could be a pretty decent way of doing it.
Just take a look at the Big Ten women's or men's brackets for their tournaments. It basketball. Is crazy for basketball.
Yeah. And you're going to have four more teams next year.
What's that bracket going to look like? I mean, there are things you can do. You might have to get creative. You might have to actually add another team. Or kick Notre Dame out.
I don't know that
helps. I don't know if we got to go that far, too, but I don't know. We don't need to throw the baby and the bathwater out, Jupe. We can keep Notre Dame around.
Oh, Golden Gopher says the bottom four teams don't make the Big Ten tournament next year. I wonder if that's true. But they still have a goofy bracket then.
Yeah, I was working on something with the women's hockey tournament, and of course that's 11 teams, and you know, yep, trying to explain how an 11 team bracket looks is not easy because, you know, people like even numbers and those kind of things.
It's
easier to digest. So if you got 11, I mean, when you look at it on a bracket, it kind of makes sense, but trying to explain it doesn't.
Well, we've seen that in Minnesota high school hockey a lot of times. Sections will do weird things because those 1 versus 11 games would never be very competitive anyway. So why give that chance?
Yeah.
You're just trying to give away for a team to end their season somewhat respectably, I think, in these formats.
Well, all right, Viggs, before we get into Minnesota, Michigan this weekend, we need to talk about Will Anderson Insurance. And I noticed Will did get a nice little pub in the hockey hair video, and he had some hockey hair, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a pull tab sports guy, so why not give a little bit more hair to that kind of thinning salad that he's got there? Put a little reinforcements there, maybe a little butter, lettuce, romaine, you know, thicken it up.
Yeah.
And that'll give you something to think about when you close your eyes and think of your insurance agent. And, you know, you want to ask yourself, are they saving you money? Will they answer your call? Will. Reach out to him. He'll insure you the same way as his own family. He'll explain it to you so it makes sense. You know, we've often talked about we need Will Anderson to explain officiating in the Big Ten. And we can't promise he'll save you money. Let's just say you should sure get a quote. Call 612-361-7283 or visit willandersonagency.com.
And, of course, we cannot forget about the Yoakum Real Estate Group.
Yeah, maybe I think after the state high school hockey tournament is maybe a good time to start selling your house. You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday is big, but maybe it's the high school hockey tournament. It's an official trigger point to list your home and start looking. If you're thinking of going into the market, don't roll the dice on your biggest asset. Think twice and contact the twins Sarah and Jody at Yoakum Real Estate. If they stand side by side, their wingspan is bigger than that other guy who buys too many billboards. Visit YoakumRealEstateGroup.com for more info.
And of course, we thank Will Anderson and Yoakum Realty for sponsoring the GPL podcast. Let's bring Todd back into here. Minnesota and Michigan, Viggs. Obviously, we had Todd on this week, so we really thought we were going to Madison. And that didn't happen. But I'm like, Todd, you got to come on with us anyway because your wide knowledge of all things college hockey. So I'm glad you stayed with us.
Thank you. And he's got Cappy clipping at his heels now. So he's got to.
You know, he does have Cappy clipping on his
heels. Bump those numbers up.
Right. can't turn down a chance anymore, right?
Minnesota, Michigan, Viggs. Kind of a three-peat, you know, it's not the championship game, but it's either team's going to go home and get an extra week off, I'll tell you that.
Well, it should be an entertaining game. You know, they've already sold, I think, 8,000-9,000 tickets for this one, so there should be great atmosphere. Michigan's talented. Like, I love watching them play. You know, every time I get to see Gavin Brindley, Marker McGordy, Seamus Casey, you know, I come away impressed with their game. It's just consistency with the Wolverines. You never know what you're going to get. They can take penalties. Mm-hmm. They can play undisciplined. So we'll see what they give Minnesota.
What do you think, Todd? I mean, your team's not in anymore, but I know you got a lot of interest in this stuff.
So I'm always fascinated by, like Viggs is saying, watching Michigan play because I don't know that there's a more enjoyable or more frustrating team to watch.
That's so true.
Because the enjoyable part is obvious. It's, you know, when they when the talent gets rolling and everything starts clicking, it is fun to watch that team play. But it's because of that when it gets sloppy and when they don't want to back check and when they hang their goalie out to dry, that they get into these games where it's like they have no reason losing this game, but they're going to do it anyway. And so those, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster in that for them this season. And that's why they're in that, you know, 10, 11, 12 range in the pairwise instead of in the top four or five. So from that perspective, I think they're one of the hardest teams to figure out which one you're going to get. Like I feel like they should go in there and, you know, put up four or five goals this week. But I don't know whether they'll give up five or six. So that's the mystery to me of it's not so much on the Minnesota side. I think Minnesota, even though it's there's been some spots here and there, and like last week it, you know, there were some really questionable spots of, you know, is the intensity here of what we want it to be in the playoffs. I feel like you do know a little bit more predictably what you're going to see from them game to game. Now it would be really nice for them if Snuggerud gets going a little bit more and keeps himself in games, obviously being important. So I honestly feel like this is one. So Michigan's come in there 2 years in a row and won in the playoffs. I think this is one. Minnesota has home ice advantage, and it actually means something.
Viggs, we have talked kind of similarly about Michigan these past three seasons. They had, because there are times where they could have easily won the national championship the last two seasons. They had the skill, but comes back to what you've said this last couple seasons. Yeah, they could be on, but then they're just not disciplined, or they're just something they've done to mess the thing up. But there's all the tools there for them to be very successful again.
I think one stat really encompasses what Michigan hockey is. You look at their power play. It's like 36%.
Yes.
Number one in the country by a long shot, by like 8 or 9 percentage points. The talent they can put out on their first power play unit is immense, and they're really good at it. And then you look at their penalty kill, 78%, 44th in the country. Now, some of that's goaltending, but a lot of that's discipline and structure, both in putting your team shorthanded and being disciplined enough to take away seam passes that'll kill your goalie. And that's been the problem with Michigan. And when they play Minnesota in these Big Ten championship games, they have not taken very many penalties.
That is true, yeah.
And they've gone on the power play. And they've taken advantage of that and played very well. Who knows what kind of game we'll get this weekend? You almost kind of hope, if you're a Minnesota fan, that Sean Fernandez is holding the whistle and there's no penalties called and it's just 5-on-5 hockey. But who knows what's going to happen? It's a big test for Minnesota. The one thing I think Minnesota has right now that's really going to help them is Justin Close has played very well. You know, against Penn State on Saturday, I think they had nearly 100 shot attempts. And Close looked very steady. That's a big key for Minnesota this weekend, is they have a goalie they can count on. They just got to take away those passes that go across the slot. If they can let Closer see the puck, he's going to be pretty reliable this weekend. So that's a big question.
The last time Michigan was in town, Viggs, Minnesota did score 5 goals in a period. That was a really goofy game, for one thing. Michigan did pull it out in overtime. We talked about all that stuff there, but it kind of lends to what you're saying. They can be very undisciplined on the, you know, taking penalties and whatnot. But when the stakes are higher, they have been more disciplined, like you said. So I don't know where to go with this whole game this weekend. You just don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen.
The other big key, I think, for Minnesota is they need Snuggerud and Moore and Pitlick to be engaged. We talked about this last week on the podcast. They are roller coasters of emotions, and everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. And I think Michigan's going to know that coming into this weekend. You know, they're going to pick at them and say, hey, where are you at? Because they want to compete.
Will they be together?
They might not even be together. You know, I think Moscow's trying to figure out what to do with that line. What to do with Brodzinski. You know, Jimmy Clark has had a very good season. Do you elevate him in situations? John Mittelstadt seemed to earn some trust where he gets elevated for energy throughout the game.
Nelson had 7 goals in 4 games.
Nelson's doing very well right now. Right there. He's hot. And he looks like he's very engaged. You know, he's doing all the things that the coaching staff wants. He's kind of a quiet kid. But he's doing the things on the ice that you have to do at this time of year. He just needs a little bit more help and a little bit more evenness from his teammates.
So what is your prediction, Todd, on both semifinals this coming weekend? Let's start with Michigan State and Ohio State. Can OSU get the upset?
Can, absolutely. Will they? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say okay. Michigan State comes out a 3-1 game.
Okay. Minnesota, Michigan.
Ooh, take the over.
Are you hoping a comet hits the arena? Like many of the Badger fans probably want?
Well, yeah, I think people around here wouldn't, you know, be too terribly upset there, but I'm going to say 5-4 Gophers. I'm going to say that's going to be decided late.
Love those big scoring games with Michigan. And I mean, yes, Minnesota did lose that 6-5 game, Viggs, but that was quite the entertaining third period. Man, that was fun.
It was very entertaining hockey, and I think that's what you have to hope for with yes. Minnesota and Michigan. I was just going to try to look up the over-under for this game. It's 7.
Over.
Which is a big number.
Hammer. Where's the hammer? Hammer the over.
Hammer the over.
7's aggressive because I honestly think with Justin Close, if he can see the puck, it's going to be tough for a high-scoring game if Minnesota's engaged, because Minnesota has shown, like when they beat Penn State 3-0, 3-0, and they were in that stretch, they were playing connected hockey. Mm-hmm. When they do that, it's a low-scoring game. Mm-hmm. Did this Penn State weekend get their attention enough where they start playing that style? Because I thought they were. You know, when they were going through that stretch, we were seeing Minnesota play tight hockey, not taking chances, not chasing, being on top of pucks. That's what they have to do if they're going to be mm-hmm. successful. If they get into a shootout where it's like 6-5, 5-4, Minnesota's going to have a very short run here in the postseason. You can't play that way with this team. They can't outscore their mistakes. I think Minnesota wins their game 3-2, maybe 4-2 with an empty netter. I think the under is a good call here. Now, with Michigan State, Ohio State, I feel like this plus 260 for Ohio State is juicy.
Yeah.
That's some good value. I would definitely take that if I was a gambling man, which I'm not this weekend. But I like the Buckeyes. Yeah, I like the Buckeyes here. And I think they have a chance to win it outright.
Really? I like your thoughts. I'm picking the Buckeyes as well. I like that they played last weekend. They played 3 games last weekend. Get a little extra time off this week going to Munn. You know, they haven't played. It'll be about 2 weeks since Michigan State's played, and they take advantage and get the win. Minnesota, Michigan, boy. I'm going with Minnesota. I'm more with Todd. I think it is going to be a higher scoring game, which I'd love to see. It's very entertaining. So that's what I'm going to go with. But I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State's hosting Michigan next weekend. So
I also will not be surprised to see the Gophers shorten their bench this weekend a little bit against Michigan. It's one game. It's going to be a high skill game, a lot of offense. I think maybe we see, you know, Bob kind of roll almost like 10 forwards a little bit more than we've seen him do. And I think we see, you know, like how the top 4D play heavier minutes throughout the weekend. So look for that.
Okay. And Todd, I'm guessing you're going to be working a lot of the Wisconsin women's games this weekend and the game before it to whoever they're going to play.
Correct. Yeah. A little bit different. We haven't, it's strange. There hasn't been a NCAA women's game here since 2019, which is just crazy to think about. I mean, they've been, you know, they had them so many years in a row up till then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the 20 tournament gets canceled. 21's all played in Erie. 22 and 23, they're the 6th seed in both of those tournaments. And so they go on the road. But yeah, they're back here. They Thursday night game is St. Lawrence and Penn State, and the winner gets Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon. So should be fun. You know, I'm not really sure what to expect out of St. Lawrence, Penn State, honestly. So I'm intrigued on that one. But it's going to be tough for either one of those teams to beat a Wisconsin team if they're playing like what we saw last weekend against the Gophers and Ohio State, even though they needed kind of a miracle to get past the Gophers in the first round or in the semifinals.
Yeah, I happened to catch that end of that game, and it was great. You know, Miss had a great chance down low, and literally a minute later, she just turned around and just threw it on net, and it just caught her surprised.
You know, that would have been Brad Frost's 500th win.
Really?
To do it against the Badgers in the semis, and
he'll have to do it against Clarkson, I guess.
Yank that one. Yeah, that's a.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I mean, Clarkson's really strong in goal on defense. Throw Abby Murphy against that and see what happens. Because, I mean, she's going to get something, it feels like, almost every game.
She might be angry because she's not on any awards. She's like second team this, second yeah. team that. And
this will have to be an overtime topic, the Abby Murphy controversy.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. Ooh,
that's a good tease there.
Yeah, I like that, Beaks.
Doing this a while.
Well, thanks for coming on, Todd. Even though your Badgers didn't make it, you are more than welcome on the show at any time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll drop in. No, somebody. I'll just show up.
You know, you thought about it a couple times last year when you were covering some basketball.
I could have. I needed
watching.
I needed it last year when I was covering basketball. That would.
If you're ever watching and you see you got something, just send me a text or something. I'll get you right on. Anytime, just to get Cappy going, dude. If Cappy's on, he's like, "Oh, I'm catching up. We'll just bring you on, just for fun, just to get him going."
Right.
Well, definitely. Thanks for being on the show, and that's gonna do it for this GPL podcast. We'll be back next week when our guest is Nick Angel. I think you all know who he is. He's got a lot of recruiting and stories of the Chia and Gensel. It's going to be quite fun. For those of you watching live, stay tuned for overtime. For the rest of you, we'll catch you next week on the GPL podcast.